Today, I want to talk to you about the power of the blood, the victory that we have over sin. We don't have to be subject to the patterns of this world because the end game of the pattern of this world is death to us. Amen? There is no life, there is no peace, there is no joy inside the patterns of this world. But we are to be transformed by the renewing of our minds because, listen, it took a long time for you to think like you think right now. Can I get an amen? And so what happens is that we get wrong thinking applied to our minds and to our situations and to where we feel like, hey, I'm not good enough. Or I'm always going to be stuck in this sin. There's no victory for me. Everybody else is gifted and I am not. Everybody else can contribute, but I cannot because I have too much shame on my life. Listen to me. If you're born again, if you're a child of God, that means that you have the blood of Jesus applied to your life, running through your DNA, and you are a child of God. Amen? So don't buy into the lie of the enemy. But listen to what the Spirit of God is teaching you. That's why the Bible says that we have to renew our minds. It's important because the mind is a battlefield, right? It'll begin to tell you things that just isn't true. And so that's why it's important that we stay in tune and in step with the Spirit of God. And so this morning, if you would turn with me to Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11. We're going to go through 14, verse 14. All right. Let's pray. Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus, and we thank you so much for the Spirit of God that is here now in our presence. We thank you, and we invite you in, Holy Spirit, to do your work in the hearts of every hearer this morning. Do your work in my life. Do your work in each and every person's life that is here today. We give you opportunity, Lord, to speak into our minds and into our spirit. We give you permission to do that. To change our hearts, change our minds, and let us know again the victory we have in Jesus. It is his blood that covers our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Hebrews chapter 9, starting with verse 11, it says, when Christ came as high priest of the good things that are already here, he went through the great and more perfect tabernacle that is not man-made. That is to say, not a part of this creation. He did not enter by means of the blood of goats or calves, but he entered the most holy place once for all by his own blood, having obtained eternal redemption. The blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of heifers sprinkled on those who are ceremonially unclean sanctify them so that they are outwardly clean. How much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our conscience from acts that lead to death so that we may serve the living God? Look at this verse again, verse 14. How much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our conscience? How many of you guys need a conscience cleansing sometimes in our life? Amen. The thing about God is when we repent of our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, but our mind still remembers, right? Our mind still remembers our past. It remembers what we did. It remembers all the habits that we had. It remembers every person that we lied about. It remembers all the transgressions that we have transgressed in all of the years that we've been living, right? All the lies, all the deceit, all the deception, all of that behavior that is criminal against God and his law. We remember those things in our mind. That's why the Bible again says we have got to renew our minds. And I love how Hebrews puts it here. It says, cleanse our conscience from acts that lead to death so that, why? So that we can serve the living God. He transforms our mind. He transforms our spirit. He transforms our life. Why? So that he can get the glory and so that we can serve. So that we can serve. There's not one person in this place right here that God hasn't specifically touched, healed, and delivered in your life. And because of that, he has qualified you to serve. The one person that is disqualifying you to serve is not always the devil, it's you. Right? Because we feel, I can't worship God because of the things that I have done. I feel ashamed. I can't worship God because I'm not quite there yet. Well, where is there? And how far is there? And how long is it going to take to get there? I'll tell you where there is and where there ends, and that is when Jesus Christ died for your sins on Calvary. Amen? That's where there is. We are there now, present in our spirit. If we're born again, then we have the wonderful privilege of worshiping God with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our spirit, with all our soul. Everything in us is able and qualified to give God all the glory. Amen? Anything else is a lie that you have perceived in your mind or that the enemy has placed in your mind. Amen? And so, in the Old Testament, what happened was is that one time a year, the priest were, the chief priest would go into the Holy of Holies in the temple. And the Holy of Holies signified the presence of God. And so, not just anybody could go in, only the chief priest. Not the king, not the other priests that minister in the temple, the chief priest. That's the only person. And what happens is that in order to have their sins not forgiven, but pushed back for a year, the priest would then go into the Holy of Holies and he would sacrifice calves and goats. And he would go in and he would take a branch and he would dip it in the blood and he would sprinkle it all over the law, all over all the sacraments in the Holy of Holies. And he would do that to signify that your sins have been pushed back for a year. And in the New Testament, we see that we have a better and more powerful ministry, and that is that Jesus died for us once and for all, that we no longer have to go in and allow a priest to sacrifice for us, but we now have our chief priest, our high priest, who is the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who offered his blood and came into the throne room of heaven and offered his blood for the ransom of our sins. That's powerful, church. That's one of those get up and start stomping grounds right there. Where we are taken up into the third heaven and we see those cherubim going around the throne and we're crying out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." Because when our sins have been forgiven, when there's nothing you can do about the condition of your heart, you have been condemned, you have been condemned into your sins, there's no hope for you whatsoever, but Jesus walked in and he offered himself in your place. That's shouting ground right there, church. Because he is our chief advocate. There's no bigger fan in all of creation that is bigger, he's your biggest fan of all creation. Jesus is. Because the Bible says he sits at the right hand of the Father and he intercedes just for you. It's not your acts that save you. It's not your good deeds that save you. It's not your holiness that saves you, because we know that our holiness and our righteousness are a reflection of what Jesus has done. And the Bible says there's none good, no, not one. So on our best day, we're still not good. We have been condemned in our sins. We are no longer, we are not capable of saving ourselves. There's nothing on earth that can save us but the blood of Jesus. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me." Why is that? Because Jesus is the perfect, spotless lamb that was offered for you and I, so that we could be no longer condemned in our sins, but alive in Christ, an heir and co-heir with Christ Jesus. I don't know about you, but I don't always feel like an heir. I don't always feel holy. I don't always feel like I've got it together. How many of you guys have bad days? You feel like your prayers don't even hit the ceiling. They just evaporate as soon as they come out of your mouth. You feel like God is tired of listening to you, right? But he is not. The Bible says he doesn't grow weak or weary. He is long-suffering. That means he is patient with us. When everybody else is going, would you please just get over it? Would you just move on for the love of God? Would you just, please change the subject? The Bible says Jesus is long-suffering and he is there with you, encouraging you, pushing you forward, not shoving you forward. Maybe some of us need shoved forward a little bit. But he is long-suffering. He is patient. Thank God for his patience. Amen? I would have been given up on a long time ago if it not for his patience. Now, the preaching of the blood of Jesus is hated by the world. Why? Because the world would say that there's more avenues to God than just Jesus. I mean, it's very narrow-minded. First of all, it's very narrow-minded. So I don't like you because you just told me there's no other way. And so that's hostility. That's hostile words right there. There's no other Muhammad or any of those other religious deities ever said that they are the only way. Jesus defined that. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. That's offensive. It's offensive because we are being told that there's only one way. How many of you guys like options? We are Americans. We love options. Right? You go into Burger King, you can have it your way. Right? You don't have to have onions on there. I like onions. They stay with me for a while, but I really like them. You have options. You on your camera, you can take a picture and you can do all kinds of options and create all kinds of images on there. There's options. As Americans, we love options. But Jesus says, when you accept me, I am the only option that you get. But let me say this. Jesus is not insufficient. Jesus is rich in mercy. Amen? He doesn't grow weak or weary. He is long-suffering. His riches and his knowledge are without end. Amen? Everything that you need in your life, he is full and capable of meeting that need in your life. Why? Not just because he's the Son of God, but because he bled and died for you. That his blood has made everything available to us that the Father has to offer. Jesus is not sitting up there in heaven, wringing his hands, trying to figure out how he's going to meet your needs. Some of us around Christmas time, we wring our hands around the dinner table going, how am I going to meet the needs of Christmas this year? Jesus never does that because he is rich in mercy. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. That's got to be a lot of money, right? That's got to be a lot of money. His riches never run dry. I don't know about you, but I get stumped sometimes trying to figure out how I'm going to do certain things. And then I get stressed out about it. But Jesus never gets stressed out about it. He is all sufficient in his knowledge and his understanding toward you and your needs in your life. He knows the beginning and he knows the end. He knows the middle. He knows the trenches that you're in. He knows the mountaintops that you're in. He knows the valleys that you're in. He knows the low places that you're in. He knows you through and through. There's not one time in your entire life that he ever goes, I have no idea what I'm going to do. He knows. Remember the analogy I shared with you about how I like to watch Tennessee football, okay? And occasionally, I get like crazy sometimes, all right? And last night was one of those times. And I get crazy and nuts because I don't know what's going to happen at the end, right? I have no clue what's going to happen. That's why it's so exciting to watch football and sports. And so, but occasionally I'll have to DVR it. And then I'll get a ding on my phone, and I'll try not to look at it. And then somebody will text me and go, Tennessee won, Tennessee won. I'm like, man, I really wish you wouldn't have done that. But I go home, and I watch my DVR in peace and my game in peace because I know the beginning from the end. I don't have to fret if they fumble the ball. I know they're going to win. And see, that's how it is with Jesus. He's got your whole life DVR'd. He knows the beginning from the end. That's why he doesn't fret when you have an issue. That's why he doesn't fret when the past comes up in your life and you're struggling with past sin. He doesn't fret about it. He says, cast your cares upon me because I care for you. Cast all your cares upon me. Every deep thing you have, every heavy thing that you have, because I am the only one that's sufficient enough to handle it. And not just handle it, not just get it by, but make it all new and give it back to you in testimony form. Amen? But we got to trust him with it. And what qualifies him as being the all-sufficient one is the price he paid on the cross for you and I. Amen? Now, liberal theologians reject the idea of Christ paying for our sins. They accuse those who preach the blood of Christ as proclaiming a slaughterhouse religion. George Bernard Shaw, who wrote, he was a famous playwright in the late 1800s. He wrote hundreds of plays, won all kinds of awards and so forth. And he said this, he said, it is saturated about Christianity. He said, it's saturated with the ancient and to be quite infernal superstition of atonement by blood sacrifice, which I believe Christians must completely get rid of if it is to survive among the thoughtful people, among the intelligent, is what he's saying. Now, more dictators and rulers than I can ever try to adequately count have tried to stifle, block, burn, outlaw, and eradicate the message of the blood of Jesus over the centuries, and to their shame and surprise, the harder they try, the more the message spreads like wildfire. Spreads like wildfire. The blood of Christ is able to change our life. It is able to change the way we think, the way we act, our plans for our life. They will cause you to go to Russia. They will cause you to go to Japan, Europe, Asia, wherever it is, because you have been solely convinced that you are not adequate. He is. And if we listen to the call of God on our life, he will qualify us. He will anoint us. He will equip us. Why? Because he died for us. It is his blood that has changed our life. It is his blood that has forgiven us. It's his blood that causes us to think differently. Instead of cower in the face of adversity, we stand in the midst of the storm as Jesus did on the bow of that boat when his disciples were crying out, God, Jesus, do you care that we die? And Jesus got up and he spoke to the wind and the rain and he said, peace, be still. Peace, be still. That same Jesus, that same Spirit that lives in the disciples, lives in you today. We don't serve a lesser Jesus because time has elapsed. We still serve a sovereign God, amen, that is able to speak to that storm in our life, peace be still, because he is your Savior, because he bled and died for you. His wounds set us free. His wounds heal us. His wounds qualify us. His wounds cause us to be sons of God. All because of what he did. So, why this harsh treatment of the best news ever known to man? The answer? Because it proclaims the greatest victory over sin that mankind has ever heard of. Listen to 1 Corinthians 15, 55 through 57. It says this, "Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin. The power of sin is the law, but thanks be to God, He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Thanks be to God. See, what we now can do is we can say to that mountain, "To be thou removed," and cast into the sin to the sea, and it will be done unto us if we do not doubt, but believe. Amen? That we now have the ability, before we did in the past, before we were dead in our transgressions, we now, as children of God who have been blood bought, we now can say that we are children of God. We now can say, "O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting?" We can say to the times in our life, to the problems in our life, to the sin in our life, "To be removed." Because we have a Savior who died for us, who now lives for us. And His blood covers our sins. In the New Testament, there are 290 references to the love of God. 290. 290 times when God had declared His love for man. But in the same chapters and verses, there are more than 1,300 references to the atonement. 1,300 references that salvation can be had through the blood of Jesus. You think the New Testament is trying to tell us something? 1,300 times the New Testament tells us about the blood of Jesus, about the power of His blood. That's why the songs that we sang this morning were on purpose. There is power, 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 wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There was power, 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 wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Now, it is the blood of Jesus, His blood alone, that has the power to redeem us. The so-called sacraments can't save you. Neither baptism, confirmation, communion, church membership, philanthropy, no morality has the slightest milligram of saving power. Let's let that soak in a minute. Let that soak in a minute. Listen, I want to say this again. We're no more spiritual than we are biblical. We think we're spiritual because we do all of these things. And these things qualify, all these religious acts qualify us. That's not it. It's the blood of Jesus that qualifies us. It's the blood of Jesus that saves us. It's the blood of Jesus that redeems us and sets us in right standing with the Father. Amen? It's not about what church we go to. I know Catholics, tons of Catholics that are born again that love Christ. I know Baptists, Methodists, Episcopalian, all who love Christ with all their heart. And they're not sold and bought on the fact that it's the sacrament that saves them, but the blood of Jesus that saves them. Amen? There's no select group that's any holier than the other. The Assemblies of God is no more holier than the Baptist or the Methodist or whoever. It's the blood of Jesus that qualifies us. Amen? It's not about where we go to church or what religious acts we do. It's about what we have done with the blood of Christ. That's it. Ephesians 1:7 says, "In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of His grace." Notice it didn't say through the sacrament that we have forgiveness of sins. Notice it didn't say through baptism or communion or church attendance or philanthropy or our morality that gets us in the presence of God, that forgives us of our sins. No, it is the blood of Jesus that brings forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. If that If our religious acts were what brought us to salvation, you and I could compare, right? Victories. We can compare our crowns. We can compare our holiness against your holiness. We could do that. Matter of fact, we'd probably have like game shows about it, you know, about who is holier than the next person. Because we're just that way. We're prideful people. We're prideful to the core, amen? We don't like to say that we're rotten to the core. You ever had family say, you're just rotten to the core? My grandmother used to say that all the time because I'd just run through her house all the time. You're rotten to the core, Jimmy. But we don't like saying that about ourselves. But we are, and we can't save ourselves. We can't do enough good acts to get us into the presence of God, to get us into good standings with God. It's only through Jesus' blood that we are justified, that we are redeemed. There's none of us in this room more holier than the next, including this one speaking to you from the platform. I'm no more holier than you are. I've just answered a call on my life to do what I'm doing. That's what separates me from you. That's it. Your call separates you from me. But also that call brings us together. And it's called the church. It's called the body of Christ. Man, I love that. I love being a part of the church. In January, I'm going to be speaking. We're going to start a big campaign starting in the January 1st or the first Sunday in January about, it's called I Love My Church. And it's talked about being involved in the church and what the church is and what the function of it is and so forth. We're going to start this year out right with that thought. But I love being a part of the church because we have all kinds of different talents and giftings. And none of them are more holier than the other. None of them are more important than the other. We're all serving together, doing this thing together. Why? Not because you're more qualified, but because the blood of Jesus has brought us together. We are now brothers and sisters in Christ. If you suffer, I'm going to suffer with you. If you share a joy, I'm going to celebrate with you. I'm not going to go, well, man, he's got it all. I can't believe I don't have something. And we have that, we have that tendency, right, to do that very thing. But it's the blood of Jesus that brings us all together. The blood of Jesus, it sanitizes our life. Listen to what Frederick A. Totford said. The sin of humanity demanded the blood of Calvary. The sin of humanity demanded the blood of Calvary. Isaiah 1:18 says, though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. You know the only person that is qualified to do that is Jesus. That means we no longer have to wear a scarlet letter. He has justified us, amen? He has cleansed us from our sins. The blood of Jesus sanctifies us. Hebrews 13:12 says, and so Jesus also suffered outside the city gates to make the people holy through his blood. Revelation 12:11 says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. You see, church, really, that's all there is to it. Because there's no way that we can overcome by ourselves. We are needy people. We're needy. We need the Lord. If we cut the Lord out of our life, it's like we used to, back home we have these guys that, and they're not like professional divers either. I mean, they take their hands and their life in their own hands every time they do this. But they go down, they take a tube and they have a pump that pumps air down to them. And they go down there with a flashlight and with a respirator on their face. And they go down to get mussels so they can bring them back up and sell them in restaurants and stuff like that. And they're yucky, all right? They're not good. And so, but they make pretty decent money at it. They do pretty good. And so they go down into the deep and they do this stuff and they take their life into their own hands. And I think it's nuts. I think it's crazy. But so many times we take our lives into our own hands and we cut ourselves off from the Lord when things get hard and difficult. And cutting ourselves off would be like those muscle divers going down there and getting their air cut off. Now, I've heard stories of men that said, I've had the machine up there quit, and I had to immediately dart back up. And you can't go fast. You've got to gradually go back up so that your lungs don't collapse and explode. It's a gradual ascent back up. But they have to immediately do something about it. And whenever they feel their oxygen is cut off, you immediately have to do something about it. You can't just continue on with what you're doing. But so many of us as believers, we cut ourselves off from the provision of the Savior, and we carry on as though nothing is different in our life. And all the while, we're suffocating. We're in need, and we're desperate. But we carry on as nothing's ever wrong. It's in the heat of the battle that we need Jesus the most, that we need His confirmation that He is with us, amen? That He is for us, that He is interceding for us, and that the blood of Jesus is able to justify us, heal us, and save us, and deliver us from all of our sins. It is the blood of Jesus. There is no sin that you have ever committed that cannot be washed clean by His blood. Amen? There's no level of sin. Every sin separates you from the Father. Sin is sin. And whatever sin is in your life, know this, the blood of Jesus is able to cleanse you. Amen? Let's all stand up this morning. This is the victory that we have in Christ, that He died for us so that we could live. He died for us so that our sins could be forgiven. If, you know, you may be saying, well, you know, Pastor Jimmy, shouldn't you be talking about Thanksgiving? This is the biggest Thanksgiving message I could ever preach. If we can't be thankful about what Christ has done for us, then there's no thanksgiving in us. Because we should be thankful that we stood in a court of law and we were condemned. Our fingerprints are all over the weapon. We've got video from someone's iPhone that's got us nailed dead to rights. We are guilty. We're so guilty we didn't hire a lawyer. It's that bad. We know that we're puckering up to receive our just due penalty. And before that judge slams his gavel and calls us guilty, Jesus walks in and He says, I take every bit of His punishment upon myself. He's free to go. That's what He has done for us. Don't you think in that time, in that moment, that you would not be grateful? That you would be shedding tears of joy and gratitude because you are no longer separated from your family? You no longer have to feel the penalty of death and shame and prison? But tears of joy would be streaming down your face, thanksgiving. Jesus, when He was eating one time, He was with a lot of higher-ups, some tax collectors and Pharisees invited Jesus into their house, and they were reclining around a table. And I don't know what caused this woman to do what she did, but it was an audacious act. One that went across social lines. In the midst of their eating, in the midst of their conversation, a sinful woman, a prostitute, came in. And I don't know what made her do it. I don't know how she knew that Jesus was there. I don't know that maybe she heard Jesus teaching earlier that day and something in her prompted her. And she was so desperate. The Bible says that she came in and she broke protocol. She broke all social laws. And she went in and she threw herself at the feet of Jesus. And she wept bitterly all over his feet. The Bible says that her tears began to flow down onto his feet. The Bible says she did something that was amazing. She took down her hair, which in those days you just didn't do in public. She took down her hair and she began to wash the tears away from the Savior's feet. And she took this thing, box, it's full of precious oil that was very expensive, a year's worth of pay, and she dumped it on the Savior. All the religious people were appalled that she did that. Even one of his disciples were like, you know what? We could have sold that and fed the hungry and the poor. And Jesus said, you know what? The poor you will always have with you. See, just like this woman who broke all social protocol, we are no different than she is. The only difference is that she saw her need and she acted on it. She wept before the Father. And you know what's even more audacious than that? Jesus looked at her and said, your sins has been forgiven. And the Pharisees were offended by that. Who do you think you are that you can forgive sin? You see, all of us need to come to a place in our life where we're broken before the Lord, when we realize that Jesus is truly the only way. He is the only life. He is the only truth. And it's by Him that we are redeemed. It's by Him that we are saved. It's by Him that we are justified. It's by Him that we are holy. It's by Him. Amen. I wish it was more complicated than that, but it just isn't. It is the blood of Jesus that cleanses us from all sins. Let's bow our heads this morning. Father, we come before You and we thank You so much for Your blood. We thank You that You sent Your Son to die for us, to redeem us from the pit of hell. From the penalty of sin, You sent Your Son to redeem us from the penalty of sin. And I thank You so much, Father. I thank You, Father. My soul rejoices. My heart is mended. My mind is now free. My spirit is able to worship. And I am so thankful. Can you just tell the Lord that your own way? If you feel like raising your hands, raise your hands. If you feel like kneeling, kneel. However you want to express yourself, but just tell the Lord, thank You. Thank You, Heavenly Father, for what You have done by sending Your Son to become sin in my place. Thank You, Jesus, that You have redeemed me, that You saw something in me that was redeemable. I thank You that You have forgiven my sins. You have cleansed me from all unrighteousness. And now I am a child of God. I'm a son of God. I'm a daughter of God. And You have qualified me, not my acts, but You. I thank You for that, Lord Jesus. I am grateful for that, Lord Jesus. When we all sit around our Thanksgiving dinner table Thursday. May the cry of our hearts, may the attitude of our spirit be gratitude. Be gratitude, Father. We are thankful. This morning, I want to ask you, with everybody's head still bowed and eyes closed, I want to know this morning, maybe you're here today and you have no idea who Christ is, what he's done for you. Maybe you've been running for a long time. Today, let the running stop. Make the worry end. Make the striving stop. You can do that by repenting of your sins, accepting Christ and who he is into your life, and you can be justified. Today, if you want to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you want his blood to cover your sins. You want your life to go from scarlet to white, to be forgiven. If that's you this morning, I just want you to raise your hand so I can see you. Amen. Amen. Anybody else? This is so very important. Because the only question we'll be asked at the end of our life from the Father is, what did you do with my son? What did you do with him? We'll wait just one more minute. If there's anybody else, just raise that hand up there so I can see it. Hallelujah. That's what I want us to do. I want us to pray together. And there are about to be some people in this house born again, forgiven of their sins. Church, would you pray with me this morning? Father, I come to you today and I vocalize to you my need for the Savior. I repent of my sins. Heal me. Deliver me. Show me my worth in your eyes. Reveal to me your plan for my life. Give me the courage to follow you, to trust you, and to love you when times get hard. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, I come before you and I cover those who prayed that prayer. I cover those in the name of Jesus. God, I pray that they would seek you out daily, that they would come to know you and search your word. Father, I pray that you would fill them with your spirit in Jesus' name to overflowing today. Heal their broken heart. Bring peace and justification to their life. Thank you for saving them. Thank you for redeeming them. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Today, if you prayed that prayer, the Bible says you are born again. You're a child of God. That you are justified, and in his sight you are redeemed. You are made new in your life. You are a child of God. And you have something truly to be thankful for. Amen. I'm going to do as I always do on Sunday mornings. Have some prayer teams come up. And if you prayed that prayer this morning, I want you to come. Your first public declaration. Come and tell them, I'm born again. And allow them to pray over you and just minister to you for a minute. We want to put some stuff in your hands that will help you in your walk with Christ. If you need prayer concerning anything this morning, we want to pray over you. So prayer team, if you would, just come on up. We want to pray for you today. Amen. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to dismiss. And if you need to go, you're welcome to go. If you want to hang out and stay around, please stay around. Our church, we don't like to just pray and leave. We like to hang out and just talk with one another and connect. So let's do that. Father, I come before you, and I thank you so much for the worship that went forth. I thank you so much for the realization of what your Son has done for us. Thank you, thank you, thank you for your shed blood, Lord Jesus. We rejoice because of what you have done. We thank you that you not only died for our sins, but on the third day, you arose from the grave. And you conquered death, hell, and the grave just for us. I thank you that the power that raised Jesus up from the grave now is available to us. And we receive that today. In Jesus' name, amen.